It's randoms with dial buttons. Stop what you're doing and listen. Okay, scratch that. Hey, it's randoms with dial buttons. Now continue what you're doing while you listen.
Welcome to the village. It is randoms with dial buttons. And yes, I'm back. Like I never left. How are you doing? I do hope you enjoyed the last episode and the last topic or the last random thought. This is another thought for today, and it might not go the way you think it will go, but be sure that you would get to learn one or two from it. So I just need you to be as open-minded as you can be and enjoy this. Remember to like, remember to share, remember to subscribe, and also try as much as possible to, you know, be attentive. Pay close attention to all of this, even if you don't have money. Pay attention. Borrow money and pay attention. All right, so I will be back after now. Stay tuned.
Hey, it's randoms with a dial button.
Okay, so most of the time, I always ask myself questions that I don't even have answers to. Questions ranging from, what exactly is therapy? Why do we go into therapy? What do we need, or what do we even know about therapy? Do black men, do they engage themselves in therapeutic things, or what they do is just, I'll just go to the bar, have fun, and then come back and meet the same problem and find a way to work around things? Or do I have to go to counseling? Is there a difference? Is there a relationship between therapy and counseling? All of these things keeps rolling in my head. You know, it's randoms, and majorly, you just can't stop all those random thoughts in your head. As long as you're alive and as long as you're living, these things will definitely come into play. So I have two great people in the house. I have Asobele Dare. I do hope I pronounced that correctly. Dare, did I? What did you say?
I said yes, you did. You pronounced it correctly.
All right, yeah. I have Asobele Dare of Anti-Suicide and Depression Squad. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. And then I have Lola D, who happens to be a therapist, who personally would say that this conversation would roll much more around her than me, because I'm not going to say anything. Because what do I know about therapy? Nothing. All right. So first off, before I ask Dari, let's do the old lady thing first. Ololade, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm very fine, thank you.
Okay, so tell us, when people come to you and ask, okay, tell us about yourself, how do you always start?
How do I start therapy?
No, how do you start with your introduction? You know, when people ask me, Dio, who are you? I tell them, oh, I'm a broadcaster, I'm a podcaster, I'm this, I'm that. So, do you always get tired of telling people I'm a therapist and this is what I do, blah, blah, blah?
No, I do not.
So tell us, what is therapy? What exactly does it mean for everyone who's listening right now who doesn't even know what it means?
Okay, so I'll first of all start with a practicing psychologist, and a psychologist can also be a therapist. So you can either be a psychotherapist, that's the combination of the psychologist and the therapist. You're doing the same thing, basically. So when I meet people, I introduce myself as a practicing psychologist, and they're like, oh, really? Are you also a therapist? I say yes. Okay, call me either. The same thing. So therapy is basically a treatment that people get to get better, to feel better emotionally, psychologically, cognitively, and mentally. So it is a treatment. And what we basically do is just to talk. You talk, you listen, you practice what you learn. Because that's like the effectiveness. That's when you get to see how effective therapy is, really. If you don't practice, you're just listening, but you're not doing. I will not say you're not doing anything, but you're not utilizing the effect. You're not getting the complete use of therapy. Yeah.
Dari, I'm pretty sure you can hear all that she said. And you know what caught my attention was when she said something about mental. And I know you to be a mental person. Well, I hope that is correct. I did not just kill someone right now. So my question is, Dari, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very clear.
All right. So my question is, when it comes to mental health, does it always involve therapy also?
I mean, so maybe you want to rephrase the question, but I will try and just break some. I'll just try and shed more light on certain things, right? So you know the way you have physical health, right? Where you want to check whether you have any high blood pressure or you have any kind of ailment. You also have mental health, just to ensure that everything is okay. You know, the way you do normal random body checkups, right?
Yeah.
So when it comes to mental health does not mean mental illness, right? So everyone has mental health. Like, how are you doing mentally? How do you handle the normal stresses of life? I mean, you're also in Lagos, Nigeria now. Dealing with people. So that's what mental health is all about. Like, how do you handle all of these things mentally?
So it has nothing to do with madness.
Yes, no, that's, yeah. But when you now talk about mental illness, right? So that's when you now start talking about depression, people being suicidal, people being depressed, and all of those things, basically, right?
Yeah.
So therapy is more like one of the many solutions to mental illnesses. You have situations where people have to take antidepressants. You know, all of these things have to literally be diagnosed by professionals. So all of these things are important. So to answer your question, but that question needs to be modified as, okay, when it comes to mental illnesses and which one are you talking about, does it always need therapy? So it depends, right? It depends on the nature of the illness. Nowadays, right, you have people taking drugs and they lose their minds. And so that's like schizophrenia, where you see all these people that we see, they are mad people on the road and all of those things. You get, so even with depression, it needs to be diagnosed. You can't just, it's not something you self diagnose. But yeah, there are symptoms that you see that now let you know, okay, whether this person is depressed
or not. Okay, we'll still get to that depression part, we'll get there, but. I just need to understand certain things now. You know, I think I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and this goes to you, Ololade. And we got talking, and she was like, there is counseling and then there is therapy. And then I asked her, what's the difference? She couldn't give me a specific difference because I feel both of them are the same, but I like to be corrected right now. So Olalide, what exactly is the difference between counseling and therapy? Are they brothers and sisters? Are they families? Are they the same thing or they are totally different?
Okay, so psychotherapy and counseling, they have similarities, but they are also different in terms of they have similarity because they are both working towards ensuring a person gets better. Generally, but the major difference between counseling and psychotherapy or therapy itself is the term process. Counseling is usually short-termed, like it is always short. Your pastor in church can be your counselor, your teacher at school, your lecturer can be your counselor, but you can't have people be your therapist, you can't have people be your psychotherapist. Counseling focuses more on a specific problem. Oh, I'm not sleeping well. Is it because of work? Then you start talking about work. Okay, work has just been stressful. Work is this, work is that. But when you talk about psychotherapy, you go to a psychotherapist or a therapist with having difficulties with work and not sleeping well. The psychotherapist will go in depth, will try to check different parts of your life that could be contributing to the fact that you're not sleeping well. So counseling is usually specific and just a very short thing. They don't go in there. They don't address what has happened in the past. But therapy, you would definitely talk about your upbringing, your childhood. You address the issue in a very deep manner. For another difference between counseling and psychotherapy is psychotherapy, we talk about things that has control over your personality, your mind, your emotion, your behavior, your cognition, inability for you to think well, reason well, basically everything your executive function does. That's like taking it into the brain. The different parts of the brain that control different things that we do as well. Let's focus on okay, that's what we are. Let's look at the other thing now. Let's focus. Let's find solutions. You need to go to just direct. So people can be your parent and also be your counselor. But therapy,
it's a whole different game.
It's more in depth.
Okay. Hello, can you hear me? All right. Yeah, I got I got a handful of it. So this question I have always wanted to, you know, have conversations in depth. As a matter of fact, this is the core of the conversation. Do Africans with your specialty, this is to both of you actually, Dari and Lolani. Do Africans actually practice therapy? Do we, as Africans, do we do it? Do we say that I want to pay for therapy? I want to go and see a doctor. I want to see a therapist. I want to do this thing called therapy, unlike the white men.
Okay. So I think I want Lade to start, then I'll just jump on it after Lade.
All right.
Okay, so, well, I'll say yes. We are not there yet, but the awareness and consideration of therapy sessions has been increasing over time. So if we're to just compare to, let's say, in the last 10 years, I would say there's been like a significant difference between how people take therapy before and now. Although we still need to do more awareness, we still need to tell people, no, this is effective. It's not just talking, but it has a lot of benefits. So understanding that it is a gradual process, but I can say for a fact that we are not where we used to be. So yes, Africans and Nigerians, they are to a large extent practicing and considering therapy, but we are not there yet.
Dari, how about you?
I feel like we've started, we're not at the level where it needs to be, right? So statistically, I know I should have said this initially, every 40 seconds someone takes their life. And so you have situation where every year 800,000 people die by suicide. This is not even like an African thing, this is global. But bring me down to the Nigerian context, right? We are over 100 million. And we don't have up to 1,000 registered mental health professionals, right? We don't even have up to 300.
So wow.
In a world where we even had, 1,000 of these people, it means one person has to attend to about 200,000 people. And that's a lot.
That's impossible. Is it possible?
Yeah. So, you know, the truth is, some people are open to the idea of therapy, but you know the way it is, even with normal physical health, people only go to the hospital when something is bad, right? So the thing about therapy is you don't even need to have a mental health issue for you to go to therapy. Do you get? You don't need to. So you have a situation where there's still stigmatization around it. Like, you know, just imagine having a normal conversation and someone tells you that, oh, I go for therapy. You sort of already have an understanding. You just believe that, oh, something is definitely wrong. Right, you don't even need to understand. People can't have that kind of conversation, you know, just like I'm saying, oh, I'm going to church or I'm going to the cinema, I just tell you I'm going for therapy. There's a high chance you might look at me somehow, right? And so we need to be able to normalize this conversation. There's also the issue where people don't think they need to pay for value. I mean, Ladi, for example, she went to school, she studied this, she's paying her dues. And you see situations where people forget that, you know, this therapist, this is their own source of income to make sure that people are good.
Sorry, Dari, sorry to cut in there. Now, earlier you said something about statistics, and now you're talking about value. Now, I know for a fact, well, maybe I might be wrong, that therapy is expensive. Now, is it as a result of we don't have a lot of therapists in town, or people aren't just open to the fact that this thing is expensive, or I would rather just sit and die here?
I mean, so like the truth is, to answer your question, right, you have affordable therapies, people being consistent. So you have a situation where there's a notion where people feel like, yeah, there's some therapies that are expensive. Don't get me wrong. Do you get? You also have relatively affordable ones. But you also have that situation where people feel like, oh, if it's cheap, that means it's not quality. If it's expensive. So people always have excuse for all of these things. But you realize that people would go for therapy when it is an extreme situation. But what we are saying is, you can always go for therapy before it becomes extreme. Do you get? Just like doing normal checkup, once you notice a growth in your body, you should flag it, right?
Yeah.
You also have a situation where even those that can afford to pay, they don't see the need to pay for it. Do you get? They don't see the need to pay for it. And then you have a situation, I mean, for example, Assad, we have systems where people can get access to mental health first aid, so they are not therapists, but just people that have been trained to listen and be able to help out. We also have access to therapists as well, affordable therapies that you can always reach out to as well. So it's just more of a situation of awareness and seeing how we can get more people to apply. I mean, there's a solution for this, to be honest. We have so many thousands of students that study psychology. Can we come up with more programs that can see how these guys can become therapists? But the situation now is, it's hard to go and get a job as a psychologist right now. I mean, there's a new shift. Do you get? But just imagine going with your CV and seeing a psychologist. Like, what role would they put you in Nigeria? You know, the market does not, there's no market for it at the moment. That they, it's like they don't really respect that profession in a way, basically. And it's a very, very important profession as well. So I feel like we need to tap into that market, see how we can have trainings and all of those things to be able to like push more therapists out there and just come up with a payment structure as well.
Okay, so earlier we were talking about depression, and I think it was 2020 that pushed that word into not really existence, but it made it much more visible to people. At what point, or let me put it this way. What exactly is depression, and how do you classify that someone is depressed? Because every now and then you get to hear that, oh, I'm depressed of this, I'm depressed of that, or I'm depressed, or I'm just going through depression right now. Even without a psychological treatment, everybody can diagnose themselves as being depressed of one thing or the other. At what point do we say that this is depression?
Okay, I know like Ladi will still talk about it, right? But you know, it's also important we know that depression is known as a major depressive disorder, right? Or what do you call it again? Clinical depression, right? And so it's a common and serious mental health condition that is characterized by persistent, you know, feelings of sadness, hopelessness, and lack of interest or pleasure in activities that were once enjoyable. Do you get? So it goes beyond normal feelings of sadness that, you know, everyone experiences from time to time. Do you get? It's like, grudge, for example, now just imagine to say you'd be Arsenal fan.
Oh, like, please don't bring that.
Just imagine like someone that enjoys doing something regular, all of a sudden they start losing interest in that thing. And, you know, the start stays after more than a period of 2 weeks. Right, so people take more than a period of 2 weeks when that happens and all of those things. And I think the major focus should be what are these symptoms, right? So the first one is, like I said, you know, persistent sadness, emptiness, feeling of, you know, feeling down most of the day. And if it's something that is happening almost every day, you know, And secondly, you know, loss of interest or pleasure in activities that were once enjoyable. Then another one can be, you know, changes in appetite or weight. Another one can be sleep disturbances such as insomnia or excessive sleeping. Another one can even be fatigue or loss of energy. Or even the worst one is even that feeling of worthlessness, right?
Yeah.
Excessive guilt. Difficulty concentrating, making decisions, or even agitation or even slowed movement and speech, right?
Wow.
And then the worst one is the one is about to, you know, because sometimes depression leads to suicide, right? And sometimes, like, you can just suicide when there's this recurring thought of death or suicide, or the person is trying to make suicidal attempts. She gets. But the truth is that, you know, I think new studies have also even shown that, you know, this thing can be caused by a combination of genetic, biological, and environmental, and as well as psychological factors, right? And it can really affect people of all ages. So it's not like, oh, it's in only men, it's only women, it's between the ages of this to that. You get?
Yeah.
So it can affect people from all ages, all gender, all backgrounds. And, you know, some common risk factors for depression even include family history or condition or major life changes. Chronic illness or trauma or abuse or certain medication. I mean, recently I found out that you realize that certain food we eat sort of even affect our mood, like the kind of foods that we eat.
Please don't go there. Don't go there.
Yeah, but I think the most important thing is to know that, you know, depression is a treatable condition, right? So with psychotherapy, which is where Lade comes in, which is talk therapy and medication, and even taking antidepressants, they are often effective in managing and, you know, alleviating these symptoms. Also, lifestyle changes, social support, and there are a couple of self-help strategies that can even play like a significant role in improving the well-being of individuals with depression. So yeah, so I mean, I just feel like I should say, so if someone is listening, or maybe as you're listening to this, you know, you feel like, oh boy, all these things, I get them all. You know, the most important thing is just to, you know, seek support from a mental health professional or healthcare provider. Basically, it's a serious condition, though, and so early intervention can like make a significant difference in recovery and all of those things.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Okay, so Lolade, I feel like you want to just tell us the kind of drugs or the kind of things to do once we notice any of the symptoms.
Okay, so before I go into that, I just want to add to what Daria already said. So depression is a warning signal. It's something a lot of us just shrug it off or we just put it aside, because you don't have a broken leg, you don't have a broken hand, you can still do what you want to do. But depression is deeper than it is. It's deeper than what people say it to be. It's deeper than what people... When I hear people say, oh, I'm depressed, I always correct them. You can't say you are depressed if you have not been clinically diagnosed. And I do not like to use labels, even with my clients. I do not like it personally. So I do not consider people depressed. What I say is, oh, you're not depressed. You're struggling with depression. Because depression is a mental disorder. The way you struggle with stomach ache, right?
Yeah.
When you use medications, it goes. It's not going to stay with you for life.
Yeah.
People tend to use labels. They are making it part of them. They are making it like, oh, this is me, this is depression. We are always going everywhere together. No. So I think it's time we come to change the narrative. It's just, you're struggling with it. And people, we all have friends that are always the life of the party. We have friends that are always smiling. We have friends that are always, that are always trying to make people happy. That could also be a sign or symptom of depression. When you overcompensate with humor, when you're always repressing or suppressing feelings, so you don't want to disturb people, you don't want to burden people, you just keep it to yourself. Not talking, isolating yourself. These are primary signs of depression.
Sorry to cut in there.
Primary signs of depression.
Yes, all right, so while you're saying there are primary signs of depression, now, this narrative just came to my head. For a guy who used to be the life of the party and then suddenly, not like suddenly, just stops being the life of a party. And then, you know, aside the fact that some people are lonely, this guy just feels like, oh my man, this thing, I've outgrown all of this thing. Would you still call that depression? like someone outgrowing certain things, what he or she usually does at some point and just decide to stop?
So you can't call it outgrowing it completely. Even if he has been doing this particular thing for a very long time and he stops, if he abruptly stops at some point, he has outgrown it. Check other things. Are his hobbies still in check? He can't just stop everything that he enjoys doing. And again, to be clinically diagnosed, you have to be doing this persistently for 2 weeks and more. It's not something that you just do and you say, oh, you're not doing again for 2 days. Do you understand? So
yeah.
There's also the time to check there. For you to say, okay, this person has been clinically diagnosed with depression. This person is now considered to be struggling with depression. It's not just, you don't just wake up one morning and be automatically depressed. No, it starts and it gradually accumulates. The warning signals is already there. This is a signal your body is telling you that, oh, Lolade, you don't feel fine. There's something you're thinking about that is making you want to just separate yourself with everybody. There is something that is making the motivation you used to have to read reduce. There is something going on. This is why you're not eating well. Your body is trying to tell you, okay, you need to talk about this. You need to work on this. You know you can't cheat the body because the body and the mind, they are intertwined. So if you want to prioritize your physical health, if you want to prioritize your body, it has the effect on your emotional health. It takes the emotional and the mental health takes the toll because it is your emotion. It deserves to be felt. But people don't want to talk about it. When people say, oh, depression, they consider it abnormal. They consider, oh, you're not okay. Ah, go to the hospital. Oh, ah, this one is mad. No. These are people's reaction to the word depression or any other mental difficulty. But they are really warning signals. They don't want you to keep accumulating this toxic treatment that you're getting. They don't want you to keep accumulating this behavior you're not comfortable with. But you just want people to know that you're fine because you don't want them to think, oh, this person is struggling with this. And like Dari said, there are a lot of genetics that are involved. Depression can be passed through offspring. A mother that has experienced depression growing up and she gives birth to a child and you find the child just not talking, constantly in the room, not wanting to make friends or not even wanting to find things that children will find fun. It starts with all these little things because, yes, the probability of that parent transferring this disorder to the child is very, very high. So depression is a different topic on its own, and a lot of us, we need to really take cognizance of it. Not just depression, other mental difficulties like anxiety, OCD, even ADHD can be a precipitating factor.
Wow.
Do you understand? So it's not just limited to, it's a lot of things entirely. Depression would come as somebody being very happy. You want to make others smile. So you do things that will make them smile, but you yourself, you're not happy. You don't want people to consider you as boring. You don't want them to see you as someone that is not fun. So you just do all these things to be in their good favor, to make friends. But deep down, when you get back to your room, you are crying every time. You are not eating or you are overeating. So it is a lot of things. You even can become emotionally distant. So things that people would feel sad about, you feel indifferent. You are just numb. It is a sign of depression.
Wow.
They are primary signs, they are secondary signs. So these are understanding how these things can actually affect your day-to-day functioning, affect your work, affect your relationship, affect you cognitively. You are driving and you just lose your visual. It's not like you can't see, but you're not really seeing the road. These are things because it's affecting the brain. I don't want to go all biological or neurobiological right now, but there are parts of the brain that controls our emotions. So if your brain, your neurotransmitters, if they're telling you that, oh, you don't feel fine, why don't you just take a break? You don't have to go out today. Well, your friend, you told your friends that, oh, you're going out, you have to be at that party, so you just have to be there. Socially, you are putting a lot of strain on your emotions because you know you're at that party, but you're not there. Deep down, you want to cry. I encourage people to cry a lot, though. Even in therapy sessions, cry, let it out. It's a way of you relieving the stress, the accumulated emotions that you feel.
Ololade, thank you very, very much. Dari, this is the final question before I let you go. Like I said, I like to keep to my words. First off, I remember some years back, I had this suicidal thoughts. I think like 2-3 times. I was deep in it. Not necessarily deep in it. I just wanted to stand in front of a train and let it crush me. But thank God I'm still alive. I'm not dead yet. Yeah, I'm still alive. So, first off, tell us about your company, ASADS, Anti-Suicidal and Depression Squad. What exactly is it about, and how do you, how can they reach you, and what do you tell people who are listening now that suicide is definitely not the option, either is depression?
So ASADS means Anti-Suicide and Depression Squad. It's a subgroup of Executives Up Initiative. We have a WhatsApp forum that has over 1,000 participants in 4 forums. We have a Telegram group that has over 300 participants at the moment. We have a free mental health training that happens every second Sunday of the month. We have...
Is it physical or online?
Virtual.
Yes, virtual, okay.
Mental health training, so free. Every second Sunday, people can always sign up. We have a physical and virtual support group that happens interchangeably every third Saturday of the month from 10 a.m. to 12. We also have Monday conversations on our WhatsApp forum and Friday Telegram conversations as well. We also have other activities, basically, right? But the major focus is also we have access to mental health first aiders where you fill a form, and someone from the team will reach out to you. So if you feel lonely, if you feel overwhelmed, if you feel you are struggling with anything, you can use that service. It's free. Then we also have access to mental health professionals, local and foreign. That is paid, but you do your negotiations with the professionals themselves. Basically, our own idea is let us create a buffet of mental health solutions. What do I mean? So people are comfortable with what we feed them on the forum, what we feed them on the Telegram community. Some people prefer to come for the free mental health training that happens every second Sunday. Some people are cool with the idea of coming for a physical support group where everyone signs a non-disclosure agreement. So literally whatever you say there is confidential. And then we also have our conversation and chill as well. So another thing is just follow us on our Instagram page, ASADS_EI, or follow us on Twitter at ASADS.EI. As well. Then you can check us out on LinkedIn and Facebook and Suicide and Depression Squad. You can also check our website at www.asads.com.ng as well. So just click the link on our bio on Instagram to use any of our services, put on post notifications, find a way to join the Telegram community and participate in the conversation, and just make sure that you're okay. And also, maybe people are listening, they would like to support us. Yes, please support us financially so that we can keep doing what we do.
Thank you very, very much. Wow, I might just join. I have to join. And I'll make sure that a lot of people also join. All right, so Ololade, first off, final question actually. But first off, how long does it take for someone to be in therapy?
Well, it depends on the presenting concerns and also the outcome of a psychological assessment. So there are some instances where you don't really need to have a psychological assessment, just the presenting concerns, then we can just talk about, okay, you're going to have sessions for about 2 months, you're going to have for 3 months, you can have for 2 years, for 1 year. So it depends. And I would always recommend you talk immediately you notice something. In as much as you're keeping it to yourself, it's going to take a longer period of time to get over it. But once you notice something and you're not really comfortable with it, in terms of your emotions, your behavior, your thought process, your thought pattern, talking about it helps to actually work on it immediately. That's when you can basically see the, if you're looking for a very fast or quick fix, talking about it when you see. You don't have to make, you don't wait for it to get overwhelming. Don't wait for it to start affecting your day-to-day activities before you consider it serious. No.
And but we're Nigerians. We're Nigerians. If it doesn't cut our hands. I'm saying a lot of people would have this thought that I have now, that we're Nigerians. If it doesn't cut our head off, we won't take it serious.
Yeah, I understand that. But at the same time, we also need to consider, okay, if at all I don't want to talk to a therapist yet, why don't I talk to somebody I trust? There is something talking does, even if it doesn't give you the solution you need immediately. The fact that you have spoken about it, hearing yourself say all these things, gives you a different perspective than keeping it to yourself. If you get opinion from somebody you trust, someone that listens and understands you to a large extent, not someone that would give you the toxic positivity, no, but someone that would help you realize, okay, these are ways we can actually work on this. These are ways we can actually put less pressure on this. Then it should relieve you to an extent, not completely. But keeping it to yourself does a lot of harm than good.
Thank you very
much. Therapy you don't have to be in therapy for years. No. It depends on your presenting concerns. It depends on how you have actually accumulated these emotions. Really.
All right, thank you so much. Ololade, how can they reach you? Because I know there are a lot of people who need therapy and therapists. Is there a platform to reach you?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram as Lade the Psychologist. Yeah.
All right. Lade the Psychologist. You can. Now you've heard it.
Yes.
You can follow her on Instagram, Lade the Psychologist. And be sure to express yourself and tell her everything that you need. Money on me. I just want to say thank you so much to my guest for today, Abo Asobele Dare and Lade. Thank you so much for coming around. And yes, we will do this again when we'll talk about anxieties and triggers and all of that. Because I get the feel that a lot of people are moving away from depression now, and they're saying that this triggers me, that triggers me, that's giving me anxiety, that's giving me OCD, that's making me feel unnecessarily uncomfortable. So we'll get to talk about this, and I do hope when I call you, you'd answer me ASAP.
No problem.
All right, thank you so much, and have a lovely day.
All right, you too.
Yeah.
And
that's how the cookie crumbles. Remember, it is Randoms with Dial Buttons, where we get to talk about everything and anything. So I wouldn't want to say that they have spoken over and over, but I just want to say that if you notice anything around you, you just might need therapy. Everybody needs therapy at some point, especially if you're in this country, if you're in this world. You just need to talk to someone. Find that person you trust. Find that person that you can, that gives you that listening ear. Find that person that just makes you positively comfortable, but also tells you this is how it should be done. Don't just talk, but be sure of the person you're talking with and be sure of the person you're talking to. Like I always say, it is Randoms with Dire Buttons. Thank you so much to our villagers who has always been there. Thank you very, very much. And to you, my new villager, I want to say welcome to the village. I didn't know the same thing.
It's random, everything and anything we talk.
My heart's a stereo.